VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. And indeed, our times are becoming more and more evil. Just before we get to our guest and topic for today, I need to bring something to your attention, especially for those of you who live in the small community of Tomah, Wisconsin. It has become the in thing for drag events going on. And while they were quite prevalent in bars, they also moved into libraries, you know, the drag queen story hours across the nation. Some schools have hosted these, and more they're coming out in the marketplace. Even fast food restaurants having sponsored drag events, drag brunches and so forth. But they've even gone to places like farmers markets, and more they're hitting small town America. It's sickening to see how many drag shows are taking place. I mean, there are Facebook pages guiding people to the various drag shows in the state. In any regard, one of our listeners out of Tomah, Wisconsin, one of the stations that picks up Crosstalk is in Tomah. We have listeners at this very minute in Tomah. But they brought to our attention that this Saturday night, September 17th, a place called Murray's on Main, which is on Superior Avenue in Tomah, has an event called Dining with Queens. It's a drag show. But there's a particular twist on this to try and give it some acceptability, because they're using this as a fundraiser for the Special Needs Community Christmas Party. How outrageous. I mean, using the motive of raising money for special needs individuals as a basis to somehow legitimize a drag show. They have a moniker on their site, on the restaurant's website. If you need me, I'm at Mom's, referring to Murray's on Main. They call it a casually classy dining experience. I question that. I'm drag show? Classy? Casually classy dining experience? Now, the matter that makes this even more unique, or in my opinion, outrageous, is that the owner of Murray's on Main is listed as Mike Murray, who happens to be the mayor of the city of Tomah, Wisconsin. Not only is he the mayor of the city, but we understand he's also the owner of Driving Stars LLC, a driving school in which many teens are instructed how to drive, this interaction with teenagers. The lead political leader of Tomah, Wisconsin, bringing in a drag show? Well, I know this does not come under the title of mayor. I'm sure it didn't go before the city council. I'm guessing that anyways. Yet he represents Tomah by his position. Is this the kind of representation and leadership that Tomah residents want? I just want to point this out, that you can reach out to your mayor's office in Tomah, Wisconsin at this number, 608-374-7480. 608-374-7480. As always, be kind, be courteous, but you've got an opportunity to express your voice. And if you'd like to reach out to Murray's on Main, which is owned by the mayor, to express your thoughts, you may call them at 608-377-7100. 608-377-7100. So I'd like to ask citizens of Tomah, Wisconsin, does this represent your community? I mean, it was amazing to me that the Tomah Chamber of Visitor Center, the Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, actually list this in their area events. I mean, they list the farmer's market, the tractor pull, the annual golf outing, Cranfest, and then comes Dining with Queens, a drag show. Well, enough on my rant on that issue, but let me just bring that to your attention today, because this is a very unique situation where you have the mayor of a community who owns this restaurant, and they're the ones that are hosting this drag event as a means, they say, to raise money for special needs. Well, enough said. Now on for our topic for today. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a war on the unborn. Yes, I know that Roe v. Wade has been reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision. And though the major media will not tell you this, according to LifeNews.com, there have been more than 100 pro-life organizations, pregnancy centers, and churches that have been victims of arson, vandalism, and threats since May, when someone leaked a draft of the Supreme Court abortion decision, Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health. One radical leftist group, Jane's Revenge, has taken responsibility for a number of these attacks, at least 18, according to the report, promoting calls for an investigation and arrest, and have come from U.S. Senate Republicans, described as a domestic terrorist organization. But I searched this morning of hate groups on the Southern Poverty Law Center. I did not see Jane's Revenge there. There's actually a Democratic congresswoman, ladies and gentlemen, a member of the Senate, who indicates that in light of the Dobbs decision, this is a time to take up arms. This is Senator Mazie Hirono, who, as she took to the Senate floor. Listen to what she had to say.
When I hear my colleagues talking about how, you know, it should be states' rights or government should not be telling us what to do, the word hypocrites, it doesn't even go far enough to call them out on what they're doing. This is an outright attack on women in this country. That is how I see it. That is how more and more women and those who support our right to make decisions about our own bodies, that is how we see it. And why? Because that's what's happening. Madam President, I yield the floor, but clearly, you know, this is a literally call to arms in our country. Yield the floor.
Literally a call to arms. Well, speaking to this and other matters going on, including 17 state attorneys general who are calling for an investigation for Google's censorship of pro-life pregnancy centers. With this and more, we welcome back Pastor Jim Hardin, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. As you recall, he pioneered the first measurable and repeatable medical model in the pregnancy center movement, helping over 650 centers nationwide become more effective at reaching more women and saving more babies from abortion. He's written extensively on medical ethics, executive leadership, and pro-life strategy. Jim, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thanks for having me back, Jim. It's an honor to be with you.
So tell me your response to Senator Hirono's call here to take up, literally to take up arms. I mean, how many more pro-life organizations and pregnancy centers and churches need to be targeted? I see her comments as being very provoking.
Oh, they are provoking. She is late to the game. If she doesn't know that arms have already been taken up against pro-life people, she's been asleep at the switch. I mean, Jane's Revenge, as you mentioned, has targeted many pro-life organizations, not a single arrest of over 50 pregnancy centers. I mean, other pro-life organizations have been attacked too, but pregnancy centers, over 50 of them have been attacked. Ours was firebombed, $500,000 worth of damage, not a single arrest. The FBI is slow walking it. I mean, call to arms. Jane's Revenge has already been attacking, I mean, physically, violently attacking pro-life assets, and now they're actually giving us death threats. They're saying, look, next time, if you don't shut down, next time it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. You know what? I said about a month ago that the pro-abortion politicians have declared all-out war on pro-life people and organizations. And now here's a senator from Hawaii basically doing that. She's not even mincing words anymore. She said she's calling people to arms. This is from the party that wants to ban arms. It's the strangest phenomenon. I tell you what, these aggressive extremist pro-abortion people, they are the new, this Jane's Revenge, for example. This is the new Democratic KKK, and burning down pregnancy centers is the new cross in the front yard. This is the militant wing of the Democratic Party. Just look up what happened with the KKK and who they represented. They represented the Democratic Party. If they can't get their way legislatively, they're going to get their way through violence, and it's wrong.
Yeah, you know, I heard this statement, and somebody, well, no, she was just talking figuratively. But no, I mean, she made it very clear. She said literally take up arms. I mean, she is, I can't say it more plain than that. She's being very literal in those words.
She is. I mean, using the word literally, you can't interpret any other way. She
right.
says, go get yourself a gun and point it at pro-life people. That's what she's saying. This is coming from a U.S. senator. This woman needs to be investigated and thrown in jail for threatening inciting further violence. And this coming without any arrests for anybody that's been attacked. Pro-life people are being threatened, not just by activist terrorists who haven't been arrested, but by politicians, outright attacks. And that's just unacceptable. This woman needs to be thrown out of office.
You know, I also wonder on this. I've not heard any condemnation coming from the Senate Majority's office. I haven't heard the White House speak out in opposition to this. Where are they?
Well, I'll tell you where they are. These pro-abortion elites, I've said this from the very beginning. I said it on June 7th in front of our smoldering facility after it was firebombed. This is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And everybody laughed at me. And I said, I'll keep saying it until we get an arrest. No arrests have been made, and nobody from mainstream media and none of these pro-abortion politicians have denied it. You know, because it's true. It is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. This is broken glass at night, and they're fomenting violence against politically disfavored groups who don't agree with their ideology. We are treated like second-class citizens, and that's fine. If you want to treat us like second-class citizens just because we want all people protected and blessed, that's you want to believe that, that's fine. But if you want to foment violence and destroy assets and actual people who disagree with you, then you're no longer representing a free democracy.
Look at the scrutiny being placed on President Trump when he said, come to Washington, you know, January 6th, or now we're going to march to the Capitol. You know, if he had used words like the senator used, you know, never once he said, we need to literally take up arms. I mean, they're just trying to talk about this insurrection, you know, that they're dreaming up, an insurrection taking place. But yet, no condemnation of this, where she said literally take up arms. I mean, if President Trump had used those words, he'd be sitting behind jail bars.
Yep. Yeah, I tell you what, the Republican candidates for office in the midterms are stepping away from talking about abortion. And you see these Democrats doubling down, not just talking about abortion, but talking about it in very violent terms. And abortion, by the way, is very violent. As you know, the most violent place on earth is an abortion clinic. These people are violent. You know, you look at what they're doing to get their way. They're willing to destroy people's lives and livelihood to get their political way.
Now, I understand also this past July that the U.S. House Democrats actually blocked a resolution that was drafted to condemn the violence at pro-life organizations and churches. I just view this as being outrageous. I mean, here they had a chance to stand up and say, no, we are, you know, we're going on record saying we're going to condemn this violence, but they blocked this even from being passed.
Yeah, that says enough right there, doesn't it? They're unwilling to speak out against the violence, to criminalize it, to denounce it. Instead, they're doing the very opposite. They're investigating the victims. Like New York Governor Hochul signed a bill to investigate praying centers after we were firebombed 6 days. And then she called us Neanderthals. She dehumanized us. And we're saying, look, no, all people need to be treated as human. Everybody needs to be blessed and protected under the law. That's the government's job. We can't start parsing out who qualifies as a person and who doesn't. And because we believe that, we're being targeted. Because we believe that all people need to be protected and blessed, we're being targeted. What kind of mania drives somebody to think that they need to maintain power and by violence? That sounds like tyranny to me.
Well, friends, keep in mind, not a single arrest has been made with all of these attacks that have taken place. And then you have a senator, a United States senator, taking to the floor to fan the flames, pouring gasoline on a fire. Well, not only are pro-life centers being targeted by the likes of this senator and by those who have enacted the firebombings and so forth, but now even Google after them as well. We'll tell you more about it after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as unique as the giraffe is, how did it get its long neck?
Chris, an evolutionary story has it that during drought, those animals with long necks could eat leaves higher up in the trees. They survived while the others went extinct. Even though this story is told and retold in evolutionary circles, it's not even a little bit true. The giraffe has many precise design features to support its body style. For instance, a heart which will pump the blood all the way up to the head, and then traps in the blood vessels to keep the head from exploding when the giraffe puts his head down to drink from the lake. There's much more to a giraffe than just a long neck. Everything about him is designed to be just this. Modern-day giraffes are very well adapted to the environment to fill an ecological niche. They were designed to do so. They did not evolve. And that's how I see it from a back-to-Genesis perspective.
For more on Genesis, visit us on the web at icr.org.
We're talking about the war on the unborn here today on Crosstalk. And folks, I'm still having a hard time getting past those words from a U.S. senator about literally taking up arms and calling for that from the Senate floor. Where is the condemnation in all of that? Well, not only have senators like our guests been targeted, we're talking about Pastor Jim Hardin, who is from Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. Not only have his senators been targeted by Jane's Revenge, but it also appears, Jim, that organizations like yours have been targeted by Google. Tell us what's happening.
Yes, we started to see this happen last year or even before, but it picked up pace on May 16th. There was a one-star Google propaganda campaign against pro-life pregnancy centers, and we were hit. You know, a bunch of people were coordinated to go on our website or on Google and give us one-star reviews after certainly not having our services, so that they would knock us off Google. And sure enough, Google, they wiped us out. They actually listed us as permanently closed. All of our sites, Buffalo, Rochester, Auburn, everywhere. And so we tried, they wiped us off the maps, everything. So we tried to get back on, and Google, they updated their algorithms on May 25th and to basically reduce women's abilities to get access to our online presence. And then on June 7th at 1:30 in the morning, this is important, Google got us back up and running. Actually, it was 1:26 a.m. But you know what happened at 2:30 a.m. on June 7th?
What's that?
We were firebombed. Is that a coincidence? It could be just a coincidence. But then, you know, we've got 21 legislators that came out, signed an open letter to Google on June 17th, 10 days after we were firebombed, demanding that Google disallow pregnancy centers like ours from advertising on their platform. And then, you know, putting warning labels on our ads if they're out there, or you know, making it difficult for women to actually see us on the maps. Then New York State Attorney General Letitia James came out with her own letter to Google saying, hey, Google, don't have these people on the maps anymore. Wipe them off the maps. And what happened on August 25th and 26th, Yelp and Google, one day apart, did exactly what they were told to do by these government actors. And so on July 21st, you had 17 pro-life state attorneys general come out with an open letter to Google as well, saying, if you give in to the demands of these pro-abortion government actors, we're going to investigate you for antitrust concerns. And so what's going on now? Interestingly enough, we have retained, certainly we've retained legal counsel to pursue all of our legal options. But on August 2nd, we had two attorneys general come out with a complaint against, you know, essentially saying there's censorship going on. There's government collusion with big tech to censor disfavored groups and ideas. So these attorneys generals are now considering an antitrust investigation because they're specifically censoring pro-life organizations and groups. So we're very happy about that, and we're looking forward to justice being done. But big tech seems to be colluding with these government actors to deprive pro-life people and organizations of their freedom of speech and to deprive women of getting access to our information that we're trying to get out to them. They are harming women. They're saying that we're the ones that are harming women by providing free medical care and community support. They're the ones harming them. They don't want women to have a choice. They don't think women are smart enough to be able to navigate the Google algorithms. They don't want women to have any other choice but abortion. And then what do they do? What did Google do? Well, when they wiped us off, they raised Planned Parenthood to number one in all the search term results.
Oh, my.
That's free advertising. Free advertising. Millions and millions of dollars of free advertising. And by the way, Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion business on the globe, and they're based in New York. 383,000 abortions in their most recent year, 2021, during the COVID year. That was, and they're getting $600 million in taxpayer funds.
Right. I'm just going to echo what you're saying here, Jim. It is so outrageous. And I have a story here from LifeNews.com. And here's a quote. This story came out on September 9th. It says its 2020 annual report referring to Planned Parenthood shows it aborted 383,460 babies. It's an increase of almost 30,000 babies killed in abortions compared to the year before. That means that Planned Parenthood killed 1,050 babies in abortions every single day, even though that the abortion giant claims its main focus is merely women's health care. In other words, Planned Parenthood kills one baby in an abortion every 82 seconds. That, you know, that's a jaw dropper. That's a from LifeNews.com. Every 82 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's reprehensible what they're doing, and so they're talking about how they do all these great things for women. You know, all these women's health. Well, they don't call it women's health anymore. They call it something else because they don't want to talk about women. Apparently, the word women is a bad word for them. So, you know, what's happening, though, is you're recognizing now the masks are off. If they can't provide, if they can't perform abortions in a state, what happens? They close. You know, they were saying that 3%. This is what this was their rhetoric. Yeah. Oh, just 3%. Just 3% of our services are abortion. Well, now we know that we know the truth. They make their money, bottom line, on abortion. And if they can't do abortion, then they leave. They're not about helping women. They're about abandoning women. They're about profiteering. They're a mercenary organization. They're not a medical organization. It's not about medicine. It's about money. And so, you know, what needs to happen is for the world to understand that abortion is a very violent act, and that the people who perform them are violent people. They not only want to commit murder of children, but they're willing to incite violence against those that want to protect those children. And, the masks are off and the gloves are off. And we're going to continue to serve women no matter what, because God has called us to do it. And he is our protector and he is our provider. And our faith in him is going to give him an opportunity to demonstrate his strength on behalf of the weak and vulnerable society. Those that need him the most are women who think that abortion is their only choice, and their preborn boys and girls whose mother thinks that she has to choose between her life and her baby's life. The world needs to change, and we need to start talking about it like you and I are doing right now.
So you're saying that Google, they really wiped you off the map. They wiped you out of, you know, Google existence, so to speak, but rose Planned Parenthood up to the top, the one who is killing a baby every 82 seconds?
Yeah, that's right. And they're giving them millions and millions of dollars in free advertising. That is the investigative result that we found through other partners. Google essentially elevated Planned Parenthood to number one in their search terms, despite the fact that Planned Parenthood does not have good Google ratings. You know, their algorithms are supposed to raise the organizations to the top that have the highest ratings. They're even violating their own algorithms. So, you know, there's all sorts of bad things that are going on here, and that's a form of censorship. And we're pursuing all of our legal options, because look, not only we've got two battles to fight now, Jim. We've got a battle to continue to reach and serve women in their hour of need and crisis, and now we've got a new battle, and that is to protect our ability to have a place in the public square. The new public square is online. It's not just going to the park, you know, at the swing set and talking to your neighbor. The new public square is talking to your neighbor through places like Facebook and online through Google. So, you know, we've got to stand firm. We've got to be vigilant. That's the only way American civilized order is going to continue. It's not sending a military into a foreign field. It's citizens like you and I standing up and saying, this is wrong, here and no further.
Now, you mentioned Google's not the only one. You also mentioned Yelp.
Yes. Yelp is also, they've also begun the censorship process. They have redefined, they've basically taken the audacity to define our business and said that, essentially saying that we're pro-life pregnancy centers are essentially bad actors providing misinformation. And, of course, that, by the way, is defamation. And then they lump us into that category and then put a warning label on anything that comes up in the search results for women who are facing unplanned pregnancy. And so, that, you know, it's just absolutely wrong and illegal for them to do this kind of thing. Censorship has always been bad. It's a violation of our First Amendment rights. And they're being protected, not just protected by government. They're being incentivized by government actors, the Biden administration included. And that's exactly what this lawsuit, this complaint that was filed by the Missouri AG Eric Schmidt, as well as the Louisiana AG, Jeff Landry. That's exactly what they're saying. The big tech is being incentivized by these government bad actors to censor any views that they differ with. They're threatening them if they don't do it. They're threatening them with their own antitrust legislation.
It's amazing to me. I mean, first of all, we have the firebomb attack upon your center, and this, I'm sure you view this as just being yet another attack.
It's all out war. They're attacking us at every angle. I mean, we're getting hit everywhere. We're just, you know, between you and I, we're looking at potentially five or six different lawsuits. I mean, this is unprecedented. Unprecedented. I can't look. The American way of thinking about freedom and our inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or and the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment of freedom of speech and religion. I mean, these things are at stake. This is at risk. I mean, I don't want to get too much into politics because I'm a president of a nonprofit organization. But let me tell you, if we lose at the midterms. If pro-life people don't get in office and take back control of the House and the Senate, the Biden administration and pro-abortion politicians and control this Democratic Party will intentionally criminalize local pregnancy centers. They will make abortion a fundamental human right, and anybody who counsels a woman away from abortion or doesn't provide a referral for abortion will be violating a civil right. That is the future, unless we win at the midterms. That's why I'm so concerned that these pro-life, ostensibly pro-life Republicans are not talking about the pro-life issue anymore. They've stopped talking about it. You know, if you want to lose. Go ahead and stop talking about the abortion issue. What's unpopular is not abortion. What's unpopular is pulling away from the public discourse. The people want to know what you think about this all-important topic of protecting all people equally, including the most vulnerable preborn boys and girls. Start talking about it, elected officials, or even the people that want to be elected officials. You need to talk about it.
Yeah, rather than distance themselves from the topic. Has there been this letter from the attorneys general? Has there been any response from Google?
To our knowledge, there has been no response from Google. I tongue in cheek, I call them Googleiath. They are the 8,000-pound gorilla on the street, and I think that lends itself to a lot of arrogance. They think they can flout the law. They think they're protected by the law, and to a certain extent, quite frankly, they are. They have they've been given multiple kind of insulation from the federal government relative to censorship, and they're massive. They have I'm guessing they've got 80 plus percent of all the search engine activity, in America.
Wow.
So that's a monopoly.
Pastor Jim Hardin wrote this here today on Crosstalk, and he is the president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. Friends, we've got some more to discuss after the break here, and also be ready to jot down their point of contact information where you can learn more about their organization as well. So we'll be giving you a website info after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
The rise of fentanyl overdose deaths is skyrocketing and has been the leading cause of death in adults ages 18 to 45. Street drugs have been laced with it, creating new lines of counterfeit pills. Fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. Sadly, many looking for their next high are experimenting with fentanyl and losing their life as a result. Addressing the issue from a biblical perspective is Mark Shaw, founder of the Addiction Connection. In his 33-page booklet, Fentanyl, Mark examines many topics including pain management, what God says about drugs, why people are overdosing, and hope and answers from God's perspective. He addresses issues of the heart which lead many to addiction. The booklet, Fentanyl, is available for a donation of $6 or three copies for $15. Call VCY at 1-800-729-9829. We'll be right back.
War on the Unborn, our topic here today on Crosstalk. Pastor Jim Hardin is with us on the broadcast, president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. And again, friends, to hear those words coming from a United States senator that we literally need to take up arms dealing specifically on this abortion issue. Let me tell you this, they are literally taking up arms and firebombing. And we're seeing that happen at a number of pregnancy care centers and pro-life organizations in different parts of the country. A number of churches have been targeted as well. Jim, for those who want more information on what you're doing and getting engaged, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. You can go to compasscarecommunity.com. That's compasscarecommunity.com to learn more and to stay updated.
And sometimes people wonder, what can I do in the midst of all of this?
Well, that's a really good question. There's so many things that people can do, and I think the first and most important thing is to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And the second most important thing is to talk. You've got to talk about why human life is valuable, that we're all made in the image of God, deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. Talk about it. Keep the conversation alive with your friends and your family and your coworkers, online, on social media. And hold your elected officials accountable to talking about it. It's their job as government actors to protect all people equally. And then give. Give of your time. Give of your money. If we have to sacrifice to maintain a civilized order and to protect all people equally. It's our job. It's not the government's job. Our job as citizens to do the right thing. It's our duty. Rights always have corollaries. True inalienable rights have corollaries, and the corollary to a right is a duty. So take those duties and responsibilities to your rights seriously. They're not just for you. They're for your neighbors and for the future of this country.
I'd like to hit another issue by you. We just had Senator Lindsey Graham just introduce legislation to ban abortions after 15 weeks. Now, it's my opinion, Jim, that since life begins at conception, abortion should not be allowed after that point. But I'd like to just play an audio clip from the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who was commenting on this 15-week abortion ban, and she called even such a ban radical. Let's listen in.
Say a few words about the bill that Senator Graham just introduced just a couple of hours ago in the Senate, a national ban on abortion, which would strip away women's rights in all 50 states. It's wildly out of step with where the majority of Americans are. Today, while President Biden and Vice President Harris are focused on the historic passage of the Inflation Reduction Act and taking action to reduce the cost of prescription drugs, health care, and energy, and unprecedented action to address climate change as well, Republicans in Congress are focused on taking rights away from millions of women across the country. While we are fighting for progress, they are fighting to take us back. President Biden and congressional Democrats are committed to restoring the protections of Roe, and they are committed to doing so in the face of continued radical steps by elected Republicans to put personal health care decisions in the hands of politicians instead of women and their doctors, which threatens women's health and their lives. That's what's at stake right now in this country. And the American people need to use their voices.
Jim, your response.
Propaganda. Threatening women's health and their lives by looking to protect children in the womb after 15 weeks. That's what Senator Graham, his bill stated. It's protecting children. It's the Pain Capable Protection Act for children, preborn babies, after 15 weeks. Okay, so how many women want abortions late term after 15 weeks? Well, it's a pretty small number, but beyond that, threatening women's health and lives? What threatens women's health and lives is abortion. They're not talking about the impact, the extremely negative impact that abortion has on women's future reproductive health, as well as their mental health. They're not talking about the hundreds of peer-reviewed medical journal articles across the globe that demonstrate that abortion has a dose effect on increasing risk to breast cancer. Nobody wants to talk about that. But it's just look it up, peer-reviewed medical journal articles of the world across the world. Same thing with future preterm deliveries. if a woman, you know, has a risk of preterm delivery, she's increasing her risk of future preterm deliveries by getting an abortion. Is she talking about that? It increases the risk of mortality and morbidity to the children that they have. These are things that they're not being told. What about chemical abortion? Chemical abortion now represents 54%, over half of all abortions in America, and they're being touted as safer than Tylenol. But what does the data say? The data says that some of the most dangerous chemicals that you can put in your body. A woman is 400% more likely to end up 500% more likely to end up in the emergency room after starting the chemical abortion process. Are they talking about that? No. They're trying to deregulate it and take this dangerous chemical abortion off the REMS list, risk evaluation and mitigation system. Only 70 drugs make it on that list, 70 out of thousands. But the Biden administration and these pro-abortion politicians are looking to prop up the abortion industry. And I think it's because the abortion industry is facing an existential threat. And somehow or other, the abortion industry is tied at the hip to these pro-abortion government actors. And I think that what she said there is just pure and outright propaganda. Senator Lindsey Graham made a political move. Do I agree with his position on a 15-week ban? I agree with you, Jim. You know, a child is a child starting at fertilization. Mm-hmm. Fully formed, it's a full human being, a fully fledged human being. Well, not fully formed, right? Fully fledged human being. None of us are fully mature. Our DNA is managing our maturation process right even now as we speak. And so, you know, we're from the point of fertilization all the way through, we got to protect human life. That's the morally consistent perspective. Senator Lindsey Graham made a statement. I tell you, and the statement is this: people want to talk about abortion, and the pro-abortion Democrats understand that most people don't want unfettered, unregulated abortion. 71%. A recent poll came out saying 71% of Americans want abortion restricted. They want it restricted. So what she's saying is that she was saying that Senator Lindsey Graham is out of touch. Well, Senator Lindsey Graham is doing exactly what the American people want: restrictions on abortion. But what the people actually want, though, is they want the ability to restrict it themselves at the state level. So the federal move is okay. Maybe Lindsey Graham is throwing a lifeline to these Republican pro-lifers who are refusing to talk about abortion, saying, "Look, talk about it." He's putting a flag in the ground and saying, "We are the party of the pro-life position." To actually, you know, give the voters who are having to vote for these people who are refusing to talk about it somewhere to go. He's promised a vote on the floor if the pro-life Republicans take back the House and the Senate. That's all he's promising, a vote on the floor. Okay, well, I think what people want is they want to debate it in their states, and that's what Dobbs is all about. Dobbs was about certainly reversing the Roe versus Wade decision, but it was also about sending it back to the people to debate and discuss and decide for themselves. That's exactly what the people want, but that's exactly what the pro-abortion Democrats don't want.
Jim Harden, our guest here today in Crosstalk. Let's open our phone lines. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Our topic today, the war on the unborn. And friends, I'd like to get your reaction to what you heard from the Senator Hirano, who talked about literally taking up arms. I mean, it's outrageous what is going on. Why are we not seeing the investigations? Why are we not seeing the FBI raids into her personal quarters on this issue? Who is she having communication with? Who is she organizing with? I mean, should we not be asking questions like these? And instead, we're taking, literally going against these pro-life agencies and pro-life organizations and crisis care centers and pregnancy care centers and churches here across this nation. Again, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. The phone number here website for our guest, CompassCareCommunity.com. That's CompassCareCommunity.com. Let's go to the phone lines here today, and we've got Ann calling in from Shorewood. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm just calling because I was just hoping that anybody that might be listening to your program today would just listen to what I have to say for just one moment. I was a I did a terrible thing in the late 80s and in what we're talking about today. And the minute that I walked out of that clinic, the instant regret hit me. I'm talking about, of course, the Lord has forgiven me for what I've done, and I am thankful for that. But in the back of my mind, I will never, ever, ever, ever forget what might have been. And I allowed someone to kill my baby. And please, people, if you're listening, you're contemplating having an abortion, you will be haunted by it. I mean, the Lord will comfort you and forgive you, and I understand that, but you will be always wondering. You're always wondering when you see a child that might be that age, and you will never forget it, and you will regret it for the rest of your life. And please, walk away from it, and do not let the government, an abortionist, any person, go to the pregnancy care centers, turn to the Lord. But please don't make that terrible decision. It will haunt you for the rest of your life. You will have to turn to the Lord every day for comfort. So please listen. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And, Jim, you know, I appreciate the things she had to say here. Here she had this abortion, I think she mentioned in the 80s, and it that decision haunts her to this day.
Yeah, and Anne was so very courageous to even say that. She's come on the air like that and talk about her situation. She is not unique in that. When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, it's hopelessness that drives her. And she's basically calling people who are facing unplanned pregnancy to hope. Look, there is a tomorrow. And you go to a pregnancy center, a pro-life pregnancy center like Compass Care, and you're going to get all the hope and resources you need. You're going to be loved. You're going to be given free ethical medical care. You're going to be given free community support. You're going to be given ways to place your child for adoption if that's what you so choose. I mean, all sorts of resources are available that you're just not aware of yet. Just believe. Just do the right thing. And people will come alongside you and work with you. What abortion represents is a woman feeling abandoned. She's got no choice at all. Like she's trapped. And our job together as Christians is to give her a vision of her future, right? Like Anne was talking about, a vision of her future after having had the child.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard work, certainly, but it's what we're called to do.
Let's go next to Dimitri in Oregon. You're on the air, Dimitri.
Hello?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering if there's anything that citizens can do as far as, like a citizen's arrest against people who are attacking these pro-life centers and, the senators are saying that they need to take up arms and stuff like that. Is there anything that people could do more to be able to help stop this kind of stuff?
Well, thank you for the question here today. As far as there's been evidently no arrest or anybody who's seen somebody do this, so to speak. So tell you what, we're up against a break. So let me talk further with our guest here following the break. Stay with us. Back in a minute on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many remember that the lockstep document was written by the Rockefellers in 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation, 2010. And what did it talk about? A pandemic. And when you read their scenario, it sounded just like the coronavirus in 2020. So whenever these groups do tabletop exercises, we might want to pay attention. And now there's been uncovered another. It was a tabletop exercise for a food crisis, food shortage. And that was held in 2015. Well, my friends, look at where we're at. One of the people involved in the tabletop exercise was John Podesta, tied directly to Hillary Clinton. The Biden regime has just brought John Podesta back into the White House, one of the men that ran the tabletop exercise in 2015 for food shortages. Let's be prepared. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and caller just said, you know, what can we do? You know, citizens arrest or what? Well, nobody has arrested anybody outside these places at this point. One thing you can do, especially with Senator Hirano's office, call her office. You heard her, and you can voice your objection to her office about her calling for literally taking up arms. You can also call your own U.S. senators to call her out in this. I mean, this cannot stand to literally take up arms. Her number, the direct number, and again, folks, be kind, be courteous, but be forthright. You certainly can condemn such strong language that she's using for people to literally take up arms in opposition to pro-life. Her Senate number, direct to D.C., is 202-224-6361. That's 202-224-6361. And you can reach your own U.S. senators as well, calling upon them to speak out loud and clear and condemn what she has said. And that number is the main switchboard, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. But, Jim, you've got another way that people can get involved in condemning these actions of violence.
Yes. Call your state attorney general's office and tell them, ask them, how are they, intentionally, proactively attempting to investigate these threats, active threats against pro-life people and organizations. Call your sheriff's department. Call the FBI. Call the local branch of your FBI and ask them what they're doing. What kind of law enforcement resources are being allocated to protect pro-life organizations? Look, it's the government's job and it's law enforcement's job to protect all citizens equally. This senator out of Hawaii needs to be sanctioned by the Senate. They need to actually come out and sanction her, and maybe she needs to be impeached or whatever you do with these senators who are going rogue like this. But she's actually actively looking to destabilize this country through a civil war by calling people to arms. That is wrong, and she needs to be called out for that and sanctioned for it. So ask your local law enforcement what kind of resources they're using to protect all people, including the pro-life citizens who are being targeted.
Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to, Jane in Casper, Wyoming. You're on the air.
Yes, I am calling to say that I think many of these women that get pregnant probably have got pregnant through being in a sinful relationship, such as fornication and adultery. And I'm thinking that that is where people should start, is to try to get a law against being able to have that going on, the fornication or adultery. It should be prosecuted. And I think if that would be prosecuted, that was against the law to even do those things, then these women wouldn't be stuck in these situations with pregnancies.
Any comment, Jim?
Well, Jane, we love Casper, Wyoming, by the way. Say hi to everybody at TrueCare for us. So it's a great organization,
okay,
if you know who they are.
Yeah, I know TrueCare, yeah.
Yeah, good folks out there. But I would say, you know, I understand, I think I understand your sentiment. It'd be great if people just did the right thing. But, you know, we're all fallen creatures and fallen from our intended design, and we're pursuing our own desires and our own appetites. It's really difficult to outlaw this kind of sin, especially since it's a fundamental aspect to being human. So, yeah, I would say, look, one of the things that we need to do, one of the most important things we need to do, is get back to understanding, helping people understand the value of human life. And so when you see people just going from one person to the next person to the next person, and they're treating another human being as an object for personal pleasure, and there's consequences to that. So if we could get back to helping people understand they are made in the image of God, the crown of creation, and reinforming human dignity again, then perhaps these kinds of behaviors will be abated, and certainly people will stop thinking about abortion as a solution. Death is never a solution. It's hopelessness. And so what we're saying is, look, the solution to sin is not a law. You have to have a new heart. You can't make a law against sin, but you also can't make a law against love. And Jesus Christ gives us the opportunity through his love, through his self-sacrifice on the cross, to give us a renewed heart and a desire to reflect his character and his nature back to our fellow man and not treat another person as an object for personal pleasure.
Thank you so much for your call here. We're going to move on to Rosemarie in Eland, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. When Julaine Epstein's clinic was attacked, I immediately called our Governor Evers' office and asked what they were going to be doing about it. Their comment to me was absolutely nothing. I said, well, thank you for sharing that. Julaine also said she had all the information on her phone because you had her on Crosstalk.
Mm-hmm.
I called them back again, and I said, is the Madison police going to take over this and look for those who had done that? And they said they were not going to get involved with that. And I said, okay, that was interesting. So that's what we get from the state of Wisconsin. And then the other quick thing I have for Jim is when you do Google and you type in, like, pro-life, is that supposed to override what the pro-choice people are doing? Because I tried it. All the pro-life clinics came up in my area, so I didn't know how we're doing that with Google. What did you exactly mean? How was overriding our pro-life groups?
Jim?
So what Google is doing is they're censoring our information getting to women actually seeking abortion or in the market shopping for abortion, facing an unplanned pregnancy. We want to get in front of those women to be able to educate them, and Google won't allow us to.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Thanks, you guys, for all you do. I listen to you every day.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right.
And we've got just 30 seconds, but caller from Wisconsin, go ahead, Anonymous.
Yes, I'd like to just say thank you to that lady that called in and expressed her concerns about the abortion, and I wanted to give you the other end of the spectrum. I paid for what has now been the death of what my daughter would have been, and she would have been 34.
Hmm.
And as you get older, it haunts you. And when you're young, every young person, please listen to me. When you're young, you can put it aside. You got everything going on in your life. It continues to start haunting you, and the older that you get, and like she said, I know I'm forgiven, but there's consequences.
Yeah. I would love to hear so much more, but our closing music is airing, and trust you'll be able to call in even an additional time. But Jim, again, from a male perspective, having paid for this, I mean, the hurt in his heart as well.
Oh, it's unfortunately a very common, and, my heart goes out to him, too, and heed his warnings.
Indeed.
Those are opening.
We are out of time, Jim. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay.
CompassCareCommunity.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from CrosstalkAmerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.